Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. On Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
It is Dom time. Welcome in, everyone. Hard to choose the biggest story of the day. I do want to get to this house in Levittown. The last time it came up, people were just trying to poo-poo it, that I point the finger at inflation and how hard this is on American couples trying to get into a home, trying to do things. And I pointed back to Biden, and I pointed back to the misery he's caused. How is a home $720,000 in Levittown? Amenities. The average now is around $450,000, according to the Bucks County Courier Times, or it's in that range. J.D. Mullane says, in talking to real estate people there, that most of the people that live in Levittown now, and if you're new to this, Levittown is misty-eyed. It is the American dream. I have a list of what you got when you got one of those Levittown homes. I bet we have people listening. If you are one, call me. If you moved into one or over the years, maybe your parents did. 855-839-1210. Mullane says a couple seeking their first house now in Levittown would need an annual income of approximately $120,000 to afford a typically priced Levitt-built house, which today costs between $350,000 to $450,000. An average Levittown house in need of kitchen and bath updates now hits the market, though, in that range, even that you would need updates. This is great reporting. J.D. Mullane's always my favorite. He says the median annual household income in Levittown, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, is $97,750. That means the average Levittown homeowner could not qualify for a mortgage to buy into their own neighborhood. Now, is it out of line to say this is just another example, and it's graphic because everybody knows Levittown? Oh, well, you're dismissing. You're not taking a look at this, that, and the other. I'm reading about this $720,000 home, and I don't deny it probably has amenities and all that. But it's inflation again. And inflation is a symptom of the government printing too much money, spending too much money, taxing too much. It's a symptom of what Biden has done, this miserable guy in a miserable family, and what he continues to do. So late yesterday, Biden releases double figures. It's unclear whether it's 10 or 11. Of these figures at Gitmo, to go back to the Middle East, Oman, and start their lives over again. Like they're not going to return to the battlefield. Now, I take great pride that we did the first radio broadcast out of Gitmo. Took a lot of connections, a lot of hardship getting the whole thing. The lucky airlines you fly in from Jacksonville, they told you, hey, please don't get up during the flight. You know, the plane tips one way or another. Lucky airlines. I'm thinking, oh, man, the return trip on that, let me off. It's not that far, but still. And there I eyeball these guys, these animals. who murdered us. And Biden suddenly, or in his cabinet, they said, what the hell? Why not release all of them? Why not release the so-called mastermind? Why not release every prisoner that Biden can get his hands on? This really calls for people of urgency to help the country to rein in presidential powers on these kinds of things once the president is in end days, doesn't it? I know it would take a lot because you got pressing matters. But my God, Gitmo again, the worst of the worst. First, they ought to be executed. That's what should have happened. Rather than all these delays and all these trials, I remember interviewing the lawyer who tried to tell me his guy, he was representing one of these guys. He really wasn't Bin Laden's driver. Bin Laden happened to be around and needed a ride, and this guy was a skilled driver. That's how he became the chauffeur to Bin Laden. Come on. So Biden strikes again. Gitmo now. Back to the Levittown thing, though. 855-839-1210. I do want to talk about that with you today. What is that a symptom of? And they talk, J.D. does, market-shattering records, frustrating would-be buyers. If it were just Levittown, look, Levittown's the face of it because it's famous. What you got when you moved into Levittown was, let's see, I have a list here somewhere. Let's see. A Levittown-built rancher, the least expensive, sold for $89.90. In 1953. At that time, that was less than half the price for a typical new home, and it had more amenities. A 30-year mortgage was $59 a month, including property taxes and insurance. For that, a newlywed couple received 900 square feet of first-floor living space with an unfinished second floor, radiant heat, thermopane windows, and a kitchen outfitted with metal white, pink, or blue Tracy cabinets with matching General Electric appliances.
Ooh, pink cabinets.
Well, the General Electric appliances. This was the, Ronald Reagan was doing the commercials.
GE appliances? Are you kidding
me? The GE appliances were the kitchen and the home of the future, the smart home. You know, you hit a button and, oh, everything happens. Yes.
Yeah.
So thank God Dan's passed this now, happily in a home.
You know, I just found out recently that GE, I guess, did this. Right. They had the dishwashers that you had to roll out and plug into the sink.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, my grandma had one, and I found that out. And because my mom's like, oh, could you imagine having to roll out the dishwasher to plug? I'm like, what? She's like, well, yeah, Grammy's old one.
Didn't your mom's do the dishes at one point? Did she pass that? Sure.
Well, it ended up becoming such a pain to roll out the dishwasher and plug it in that she just ended up filling it and using it for storage. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Kind of like treadmills.
Never got to see it in use.
All right, so 855-839-1210. Love to get to you. What is this a symptom of? Oh, you guys are always attacking Biden. You're always attacking what's... But no, that's one of the largest elements of this. There's no way it ought to be this inflated. Is there gold in Levittown? I mean, these are good neighborhoods, all-American neighborhoods. But look at this again. Every year this happens. And in this case, $720,000... This 1958 country clubber along Fountain Road in the Forsthesia gate section of Middletown, says J.T. Moane. All right. Biden striking at all this stuff. All right. President Trump held a news conference, is holding a news conference. He's taking questions from reporters today. He said a number of things that are interesting. About Canada, about energy, and about Wayne Gretzky, still back to Gretzky, wanting to be the president or the prime minister of Canada. The biggest story out there today, though, and we'll play you a lot of sound of this, Zuckerberg, and he doesn't sound, his voice is much more powerful than I remember, and he looks kind of bulked up. I know he's been doing various things. So here's a little taste. Here is Mark Zuckerberg talking about this transition for Facebook. And I always thought Twitter was worse than Facebook and what they did during COVID, et cetera. But listen to the first part. They're going to go with community standards. not the fact checkers. Cut one.
The recent elections also feel like a cultural tipping point towards once again prioritizing speech. So we're going to get back to our roots and focus on reducing mistakes, simplifying our policies, and restoring free expression on our platforms. More specifically, here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to get rid of fact checkers and replace them with community notes similar to X, starting in the US. After Trump first got elected in 2016, the legacy media wrote nonstop about how misinformation was a threat to democracy. We tried in good faith to address those concerns without becoming the arbiters of truth. But the fact checkers have just been too politically biased and have destroyed more trust than they've created, especially in the US. So over the next couple of months, we're going to phase in a more comprehensive community notes system.
All right. So community notes system. Now, I know the downsides of this. Several in the so-called legacy media going after that. It takes you forever. Misinformation, all that stuff will be out there. Instantaneously, with what Zuckerberg said today and what he's doing, more importantly, I saw a multitude of these legacy media types telling us, well, that used to be the job of the legacy media. They determined, they knew how to stop people that were crackpots hiding from the under the First Amendment, did they? So were we better off, even with the abuses of social media, the internet, the downsides of that talk radio, Fox News Channel, when we just had CBS, ABC, and NBC? Bernie Goldberg exposed that way back when, it's got to be 20 years ago, talking about his tenure at CBS. What I've seen is sometimes they don't even intentionally censor. They just have a worldview. They're all in a bubble, the same worldview, where what I think is a great story that we'd want to talk about or that people should know about, they go forward and don't talk about it. They don't think it's anything that people need to know. Not because they're intentionally saying we're liberals. It's just kind of a worldview. I'll give you a case in point of something that's happened today. It's going to be fun to see how you react. Dawn Fantasia is one of our favorites, the assemblywoman from Sussex County. And I saw her last week. She happened to be on family vacation. We couldn't get her. She had a lot to say, or a good bit to say then, about what we talked about yesterday, this New Jersey law just signed that will now say that teachers don't have to take a basic skill test. Reading, writing, and math. And we kind of mocked it, and rightfully so. Now, Dawn is a former teacher. Her argument is that these tests were overkill. In other words, you already had to take a bunch of these tests. And I'm not still sure if I'm in full agreement with her, but I'm getting there. She's a very reliable source. So did I say, no, we're not going to put Dawn on. Because people that are conservative would rather believe you don't have to read in Jersey. But she also says that teacher evaluations have been dumbed down. So if you can get somebody in there, the NGAA has made it that they're not going to be evaluated properly. She'll be here at 1 o'clock today. And hopefully this is an exhibit of something that was misreported, or we jumped on this, and it's a little bit more complicated than that. She's an unimpeachable source to me until proven otherwise. Now, with the media, though, with ABC, NBC, CBS, you're not going to get that. All right, so we'll give you a little bit more of Zuckerberg. So he talks about these new principles. Principle number one, no fact checkers. Community standards. We know the downside of the community standards. Here's his second point.
Second, we're going to simplify our content policies and get rid of a bunch of restrictions on topics like immigration and gender that are just out of touch with mainstream discourse. What started as a movement to be more inclusive has increasingly been used to shut down opinions and shut out people with different ideas, and it's gone too far. So I want to make sure that people can share their beliefs and experiences on our platforms.
All right, there you go. Those are two really good examples. I don't know if he said COVID somewhere else in here, but I would have thrown that one in. Isn't that the principal one? Now, what's the downside of this? There might be somebody listening. Well, there's plenty of downside to misinformation, disinformation. Okay, tell me what it is. Well, you're going to have people believing X, Y, or Z. Tell me what something dangerous is. Isn't the best way to do that? It's out there, but there are plenty of other sources to challenge it. There's plenty of other things to challenge along those lines. Should we just get rid of this thing? Let it not see the light of day? I mean, I despise Alex Jones. I'll just say straight up, I despise him. What he did with those families in Connecticut, what he put them through, he deserves everything he gets for that. But I don't think Alex Jones should be censored. I mean, that is a very specific, there were specific laws. He shouldn't be shut down. If you want to hear what Alex Jones says versus me, you ought to be able to hear it. And then we'll let you make a determination. Is there a downside? Yeah, we know what the downside is to it. But the upside, freedom of speech, is worth it. All right, whatever the trouble is that's created by this, the downside of attacking freedom of speech is a lot worse. All right, 855-839-1210. Side question today. On Friday, Henry and I were in agreement, and I was on pins and needles because I didn't know what Ray Dininger would say about allowing individual effort, in this case, Saquon Barkley, to be rewarded by going after the record. And I still stand by that. Ray proceeded to slur Eric Dickerson, essentially. You wouldn't know Eric Dickerson anyhow. You know, we've had other people saying, oh, he was a great run. But he was, but he's not a household name. Okay. And I just said how disappointed I was. You know, just like Michael in Godfather 2 about Fredo, about your heart being broken. Okay? So we want to know somebody or something, you know, it's all on the call, that really disappointed you, if not broke your heart. Ray Dininger was an example. That's when I had personal experience.
Can't believe Ray Diddy is someone that can break your heart, Dom.
Yeah, well, he's the epitome of ruling on something like this. You know, so I can't tell you how disappointed I was in him that he even swayed Henry. All right, so Christie would be my nominee because back in the day, I had him on 7 times. I'll never forget. It was like a festival. He was that hot with conservatives when he took over as governor. And then we got into it, and I saw in the middle of it, he would never come back. I knew it as we're going through it. He's a bully. It was over the Obama thing. What exactly did I say? Then we saw a lot more. And now we are where Christie is today. I wonder if there's anybody out there that will say we should take it off the board, Springsteen, because a lot of people have told me, well, you know, back in the day, it was new, it was different, it was refreshing. And look at where we are with Springsteen now. Could you still continue the subterfuge of idolizing this guy? You can't. So you got to pretend like he didn't break your heart. Well, you didn't have any heart if it's not broken with something like this. All right, Dan, why don't you go first?
Oh, Dom, I got one. That's a big heartbreak for me. It was a slow heartbreak and probably later than most heartbreak. But how about Howard Stern, Dom? And I have a specific moment that my heart was broken. It's you know, he really kind of went downhill after Artie. Well, you can ask some people. They'll say when he went to Sirius is when he jumped the shark. When Artie left, he jumped the shark. But I interned in late 2012, and I still loved the show at that time. He had a lot of fun with Eric, the Midget, and some others, and Ronnie. And then 2013, I get off my internship, and then a video of a recent meeting leaks after I had left my internship where Howard really just proves how out of touch he really is to his staffers. And at that moment, I had known that his person that he brought in after I had left, Marcy Turk, well, not because of me, I was just an intern, but Marcy Turk came in right as I was leaving, really drove his show into that out of touch, you know, realm. So 12 years ago in 2013, that meeting comes out, my heart's broken, I'm proven that Howard Stern will never be the same, and sadly, I was proven right.
All right, Henry, do you have one?
Yeah, so this question was inspired by Philly sports, so I'm going to keep it in that same vein. I think the definition of heartbreak was the 2019 NBA Eastern Conference Semifinals, Game 7 between the Philadelphia 76ers and the Toronto Raptors, where, if you remember, Kawhi Leonard hit a shot from the corner falling away, hit the rim about, I don't know, 10 billion times before going down, and just completely shattered the hearts of Sixers fans across the Delaware Valley. And to this day, I don't know if they've had a better shot than they did that year. I mean, they've lost 3 of 4 right now. They look dysfunctional. And looking back on that, I mean, in the moment, it's complete heartbreak. And then given what's happened in the 5-6-plus years since now, just breaks my heart. It really does.
All right. So somebody, I was looking at it in terms of you really idolize them and they let you down. But you could take it the way that Henry did. Tell the story. You know, go down that route. Somebody who broke your heart, at least.
Kawhi Leonard broke my heart.
Okay. Really, really disappointed you is what I was. And Christie was a good one. Dan with Stern, Andor, Springsteen is another one. Could be political, it could be an athlete, could be anybody. Not personal, you know, we don't know them. We have to know them. All right. 855-839-1210. We'll play you a little bit more of President Trump. And I have a little bit more of Zuckerberg. Now, Zuckerberg does have an antitrust case coming up in April with the government. But I think his motivation more is to be in tune with, after all, Facebook is kind of the meeting spot, the town council, and that town council is riding high with Trump at this point. I'll prove it to you coming up. We have some of the results from the election that are historic for a Republican. You'll hear NBC break it down. They can hardly believe it. That's all straight ahead on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Tom Giordano's show. Welcome in. Widespread agreement, except with the people who run schools. I'm looking at Crossing Broad. Dan, do you know the pronunciation? Is it Kevin Kincaid? It's spelled differently.
Yeah, no, it's Kincaid.
It is Kincaid. Yeah, Kevin is a good guy and thoughtful and has written nice stuff at times. He's got a great piece up that he had to stay home with his 5-year-old yesterday. Well, he was at home because of the snow. 90 minutes on Chrome, getting ready their activities of the day. I think it's a Boyertown School District. 5. Guy writing, his name is Pearson, in the Inquirer today. For once, I agree with him, the Inquirer. I sent him a note attacking the very same thing and saying, what are these people thinking of? Because they have this new toy. Oh, well, now let's look at this. This new toy of Zoom, of remote learning, that never worked. But you know what it is? My column's going to be about this. It's the latest brand of fraud. You're frauds. It allows you to check a box and say, you're learning that day. We're counting that day. It's all about counting. We're going to get to 180 no matter what you say. Isn't it fraudulent? Come on. Now, in extraordinary circumstances. Plus, you know what it does? It allows them, during COVID, more fraud to keep the schools closed and say, well, we have remote learning. This is such a relic from a failed program now being used to take away one of the joys of childhood, a snow day. And the guy writing in the Inquirer today talks about that magic moment when people would listen to the radio. It was Harry Donahue. I don't know who it was before Harry Donahue. Saying all Philadelphia public and parochial schools will be closed today. At other times, after that, I think they gave the numbers of the ones that were closed. And you had a school number, and you had it somewhere safe. And when they said that magic number, school will be closed. That's the way that it is. That's
amazing.
Yeah.
Best feeling.
Yeah, best feeling imaginable, and they've taken that away. Who is it that is running this? Are they all goaded into it? Well, come on, Dom, you don't understand.
Well, Kevin makes a great point in his story, too, because he has a 5-year-old now. Right. He didn't have a 5-year-old during COVID. He didn't recognize how bad it was during COVID. He says, BS lingering COVID development that should go back to 2020 and stay there forever, which I completely agree with. But he's essentially saying he has a non-essential job. He writes blogs. Right. She's a 5-year-old. You can't expect a 5-year-old to know how to navigate a laptop. Mm-hmm. So he has to take 90 minutes out of his day to essentially walk his daughter through these steps.
What do other parents do?
What do other parents do? Right. Essential parents do. There's nothing they can do.
Again, this has to be called out. It has to be stopped. Now, fraudulent enterprises like the Philadelphia Public Schools, they're a complete fraud up and down the line. It can come out, bring the superintendent in. up and down the line, they're fraudulent. In that they don't work. They're never going to work. We know it. They can't even keep supply. They can't even keep anything straight. And they're going to do remote learning. So they only put in one school, a snow day. What's the reason for that? They want to show they're emphasizing learning. Really? You think they are? Okay. Catholic schools. Now, I got a note. It wasn't nasty from an archdiocesan teacher, and he said they were not on remote learning yesterday. It was something about doing assignments. Well, why even that? And what do you do if you build in two or three snow days and you exceed them? Well, you add 5 minutes to the end of the day or 10, whatever it is. That's what they did. Or worst case, you add a day to the school year. That's what's
what done. A dumb solution. I apologize, but they're adding the 10 minutes to the end of the day.
Yes.
Like, because kids are just going to sit, like what it becomes is teachers like, oh, well, we have this extra 10 minutes. So we got to just wait the 10 minutes before we're able to release you. So,
well, you have to have a metric. You have to have a count of something. And yeah, they've reached 180 days because if you don't, they will do anything. They might have 20 days of Philadelphia public schools. What difference would it make? So that's why you got to calculate.
I've always been curious. Are you guy in favor of year-round schooling?
No. Like I'm the biggest enemy of that. It is one of the worst ideas. Sherelle Parker wants to get that. I will fight that to the death. It's for the bad kids. Send the bad kids to summer school. Keep them in school. Them and their parents who don't want to do anything. Why would you take summer away from the good kids?
This fall's a better season.
Well, whoa.
No, that's... summertime and the living is easy. So no, I am against year-round schooling. It's just another made-up fraudulent thing. Thank you. That's another 300 words in the column. It's all this stuff versus the core problem. You have people that don't want to learn that are in schools and their parents are not going to do anything about it. And they make it bad for everybody else. And you got to figure out a way to deal with them. And it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but stop papering it over and pretending to do remote learning. The anticipation of having a snow day off and having a snow day off, that's a part of childhood. It definitely is. And I don't care if Vivek Ramaswamy is going to write that the next time he writes about sleepovers. You know, in India, they wouldn't have a day off with snow. Well, I don't think there's too much snow.
Did they write about sleepovers?
Oh, yeah. He attacked the American too much of an emphasis on sleepovers.
Oh, no.
Not enough on...
Is that why I was gone? That's upsetting.
Not enough on the Olympiad math student. Stop it already. Stop trying to destroy childhood. Okay, we got enough bright people in America. We don't need you and Elon Musk sending a bunch of people in here that you don't want to pay money to.
I don't think we have enough sleepovers anymore, to be quite honest.
Well,
kids just want to go home and play video games and not spend time with each other in person.
That's true. Sleepover's fine. That's what he picked on. Kevin, nice column, though. So the question is, if people feel that way, why are we letting them do this then? Why are they doing this on school boards and others? Who gave the order in Boyertown or the Catholic schools? Who gave the order? Now, Beth Ann Rossica is next. I'll ask her about this, but she's got a great piece today at Broad and Liberty about the fact that even though the Biden administration has backed away recently on shoving males into female sports, Pennsylvania is still there. And I believe this is the single best thing that Republicans can go at with Josh Shapiro. Can they focus and use this to take him out for 2028? All that straight ahead here on Talk Radio 1210. All right, it is Dom time. Coming to your calls, somebody, something that really disappointed you. It's the type of thing of just the Stern thing with Dan. I mean, if I had worked with Stern, someone like that, it's got to be very, very difficult to see that. Beth Ann Rossica is our go-to. Broad and Liberty is where this appears, and often her stuff appears there. We'll tell you where to find her, too, particularly on education matters. Interesting angle I don't see anybody talking about. Beth Ann contends, despite a federal reversal, Pennsylvania continues to allow boys to compete against girls in sports. Her contention, the Biden administration quietly abandoned its plan to force school districts to allow boys to compete against girls in sports. Now, that was the big dodge. That's what they said. Well, we had to do it. It's a law. We don't want to be fined. We don't want to do this, that, or the other. And in my mind, and I think she probably shares it, this is the ultimate way to really flesh out what Josh Shapiro is all about. Beth Ann has in here a tweet he put out, August 11, 2020. Trans women are women, comma, pass it on. All right, let's go to Beth Ann Rossica. Happy New Year, Beth Ann. Thanks for joining us.
Always great to be here, Dom. Thank you so much.
So that's your contention, right, that you read the Biden administration giving this up, and certainly the Trump administration coming in. You can't hide behind we're afraid of what they'll do to us if we don't do this.
Absolutely, Dom. And I actually think that Pennsylvania passed these regulations back in 2023 before the Biden administration had even proposed the issue of boys competing in girls' sports. But I think that they wanted to get ahead of the curve. They wanted to make a stand, a progressive stand, that boys should be able to compete against girls. And the governor has sanctioned this happening in our state. And you're absolutely correct. Now, school districts are required to follow these ridiculous rules because the state of Pennsylvania has issued these regulations. So it really is very, very problematic. And I don't think that people understand that these regulations that were changed in 2023 in Pennsylvania, they didn't even go through the legislature. Nobody voted to change the definition of sex to include gender identity. It happened through an agency, the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission unilaterally made this change, which I believe is unconstitutional.
Yeah, I know Chad Lassiter well. We've debated sort of, but it shocked me that he would go this wild on this. It's kind of out of character, unless I'm misreading him. You say when he did this, by changing the definition of the word sex, they're endangering girls both on the field and in private spaces like girls' bathrooms, etc. Now, Beth Ann, just a point here. I'm not a fan of emphasizing the safety aspect. I think the winner is the fairness aspect, that they can't compete, that this is just completely unfair. It kind of gets into women and a competitive workplace and all that in the future. And this is an example of unfairness.
No, I agree, Dom, that the sports issue is the winning issue. I mean, this has been polled. 75 to 80% of Americans don't think that boys should compete against girls in sports. It's obvious. I mean, I don't even know why we have to have conversations about it. In my article, I point out the PIAA, the Pennsylvania Interscholastic Athletic Association, which is the group that regulates secondary sports in the state of Pennsylvania, their bylaws clearly state that there are real physical and competitive differences between boys and girls. And allowing boys to compete against girls would have a chilling effect on female participation. So even the PIAA recognizes that there are huge physical advantages that boys have over girls. Yet what the PIAA did in their bylaws was they only used the term boys and girls, but they say that if a student's gender is questioned or uncertain, then the principal of that school gets to decide where that child gets to compete, whether they get to, you know, compete with the boys or with the girls, which, again, is ludicrous that some random principal gets to say, okay, this boy gets to, you know, compete against girls. It's the most asinine thing I've ever seen. But to your point, most people think that this is all idiotic and nonsensical that we're even having this conversation. But I do want to...
Beth Ann?
Uh-oh.
Josh Shapiro on the line there reading her out. All right, we'll go back to Beth Ann. Let's see if we can reestablish contact. You know, when she was mentioning that about that line, all I could think of was Dr. Oz saying, yeah, the abortion should be decided by the women, their doctors, and local politicians. That line was going through my head. So, Beth Ann, cut off a little bit here. Let's bring it up now as this moves forward. What's your sense? Can they get this women's fairness bill passed through the House? It'll pass through the Senate. Josh Shapiro says if it ever reaches his desk, at least in the past, he will veto it. I would tell you, if he vetoes it, that's it for 2028. Right there, this is going to be a big national story that I don't think he can weasel out of based upon where America is now. Can they get it passed?
I honestly don't think they're going to be able to get it passed. I think he will veto it. I think that he has too much history in posting and being very loud about this issue. And I think that he'll veto it. I really do. Or he'll work behind the scenes to make sure that it doesn't get to his desk. And that may be the more palatable tract for him to get this to not come to his desk.
Well, the only way that that would happen is if Democrats don't bring it up in the House, because it's going to happen in the Senate, right? So what would their excuse be? And their excuse is, hey, the media is on our side. Nobody's going to say anything, I guess.
Right, right. Well, and I think so. I think that the Democrats will just support Shapiro on this issue. I mean, Democrats, even though there are some Democrats who are starting to speak up and out about this issue, it's still very much of a Democratic talking point that, you know, they don't support banning these kids from competing against girls. So I don't think that the bill will get passed, which is why I think that we are probably going to need either a Supreme Court ruling that says that you cannot expand the term sex, the definition of sex, to include gender identity, or we're going to need a lawsuit here in Pennsylvania. Because once again, as I said in the article, I think that it's unconstitutional that the PHRC passed these rules quietly without even having to go through the legislature. I mean, this is a big deal. Changing the definition of the word sex, from the beginning of time, sex has meant one thing. And now all of a sudden in 2023, some state agency can indiscriminately say, nope, that's not the case anymore. This is what sex means now.
Who would have thunk it? Chad Lassiter, call your office. Beth Ann, thank you. Where do we find this article and where do we find you?
Yes, thanks so much, Dom. So if you go to broadandliberty.com, spelled just like I said, broadandliberty.com, and put in my last name, Rosica, R-O-S-I-C-A, all of my articles will come up, and this is my most recent one. And I appreciate, as always, having the opportunity to be on the show with you guys.
Thank you, Beth Ann. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care, Dom. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right. There is the Moms for Liberty. I haven't forgotten about that. Their lawsuit, which won, that if you're a member and you object in your local school board, then they have to follow the ruling as it stands now. So who is it out there that wants to continue this? Who wants to do this on, well, maybe the same people? I'd love to ask these local school boards, though. Are they in favor of their school district not having snow days or a snow day? Is that what they want them to be doing? Yeah, we're all about education here. No, you're not. No, you're not. Not even a little bit, if that's your attitude. You're not about it. You're not about the welfare of anything here. You're cowed by having this ability now. Maybe there are some parents. Tell them to stay home with their kid and be on Zoom all day long if they're five and play Suzuki violin while they're at it. That's fine. Let the other people live a normal life. Don't burden them with this. I wonder what the penalty for the five-year-old that Kevin Kincaid writes about in Crossing Broad would be if they didn't figure it out and do their Zoom lesson yesterday. No Play-Doh the next day? Hey, well, what would the penalty be? You know, the kid gets put in the back of the room or something? All right, 855-839-1210. Get in on the side question, too, which is something, somebody who broke your heart in the sense of, or something, disappointment around it. It just occurred to me, Ray Dininger. Kidding. I mean, Ray Dininger is the all-time great. I was just surprised, though. Usually when I'm that dead set on this, he did turn Henry around, though. Right, Henry? I mean, it seems like by running down Eric Dickerson, he turned you around.
Yeah. No, that's all it took, honestly. I mean, I still wanted him to break the record, but like, he got me on his side.
Well, he's as credible as anybody. Greatest guy. I mean, he's
to his point, though, I mean, how many, when you talk about the best ever, does Eric Dickerson come up in conversation often? I don't think so.
No.
No.
So, well, exactly. What's the point? The reason is, though, that we have people that get records by longevity. I'd have to look at Dickerson and see if it's that.
That's a season.
But Saquon Barkley, though, at least what he'll do with the Eagles now. I know it's a little bit late in his career. He is a guy of that pedigree. He is a guy that great. He just happened to be on a horrible team.
Then I mean, playing Monday morning quarterback, though, after seeing what happened with Christian Watson, Zay Flowers, I'm kind of glad we didn't, you know, have that opportunity to get him injured.
Well,
the starting wide receiver for the Packers is now out. I hate that thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if you play, oh, I can't get hurt, you're going to get hurt.
Well, a guy that's been, you know, fantasy well, Henry and Dom. Yeah. I mean, he's been injured season after season. He's been able to avoid that largely this season. So why are we going to, you know, play our chances?
Well, this is making sports in the sun. I see sports as differently. We live for the moment. Something great like this comes along, you go for it. It's not just about percentages, more percentage to win the Super Bowl or not. All right, 855.
To win the Super Bowl. That's the ultimate goal.
That's not the way I look at it, though. I look at other things.
Well, you value a Week 18 win over more than a Super Bowl?
By talking about it, though. Meaningless game. No game is meaningless. See, that's the problem. It's the game that I love, not, you know. Well, Dan, you missed a whole riff we went through about kids and playoffs. Oh, it's the playoffs now. Oh, my God. It's the game. You show up, you love the game. All the stuff that's backdrop and all. This is little kid stuff. They should have let him play. All right, 855-839-1210. You get in on the side question. And Levittown, $720,000 home. Is this another example of Biden and inflation? I think it is. J.D. Moeen makes the point in Levittown. Those that now are there, the median income is about $97,000 family income. They could not afford by $23,000 a mortgage in Levittown where they live. There's something wrong in America with that. And I hope Trump talks about that and drills down a little bit more about getting couples, say, that are 25 to 35 or whatever, into their first home. I'd do anything if I were in that position to make that happen. That's America. That's the American dream, not what Joe Biden did. 855-839-1210. All right, it is Dom time. Welcome in. You got the side question. And I told you, this Levittown story has intrigued me. Why is that? That Levittown has that level of inflation where the people living there now with their family income could not afford a mortgage pretty much anywhere there. And routinely, you could have a home selling $400,000 plus even if it needs work. Is it just that valuable there? I don't think so. There's something afoot there. Let's go to Gary in Newtown. And Gary, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Dom. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. To you and the rest of the guys there, too, of course. whether it's Levittown or Honolulu, and I use Honolulu as an example, Honolulu has all five military bases there, and the reason why the real estate there is so expensive is because you can't build, and because the military never stops increasing the stipend of food, of housing, of car allowance, of whatever, everything there just continually goes up.
Well, wait a minute, Gary. The interview, yeah. J.D. Moeen, he's thinking about that, and he asked the guy who's his guide, the real estate guy, could you find, I'll give you the exact thing here, he says, could you find this, affordable family home anywhere in Bucks County? And the guy says, no. We had 28 showings, a house she recently sold in North Park, Levittown, $450,000. We had 28 showings in just 5 days. That's how tight it is.
I'm not disagreeing you. I was trying to make an overall broader point. It all has to do with money supply. When the government is subsidized, and I've heard Earl talk about this in Northeast Philly, it's moved into Levittown, into the lower suburbs. And it's the Section 8 housing that's moving in because there are no greater developments for low-income housing in Philadelphia or anywhere for that matter. So this influx of people that continues to grow has got to go somewhere. Now, you've got these houses that were built in the late 50s that, if they weren't improved, are sold at that low end of 340. And you've got people like BlackRock that buy them up, and then they rent them back to the government for federal subsidies.
Oh, okay. I'm aware of that. Some of that is happening. So You want to put in something else here, too. It's not just inflation. You're saying BlackRock, too.
But there's also money supply. We are $1 trillion in debt, in personal debt. Mm-hmm. $1 trillion. So you've got people that don't actually understand money. You deal with it all the time. You're probably one of the most frugal people I know vocally. But people really don't understand money. Okay, I can make that $128 minimum payment on my credit card. Let's go out to eat.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, Gary, in your spare time, how about having a phone conversation with Ro? Work her over a bit here, would you please?
next time I'm at an event, bring her on the 20th. I'll sit there.
I mean, Dan's lucky. He's got Maisie with the green eye shade looking over his expenses each week. You know, what is this you charge here? God. All right, Gary, who disappointed you?
I didn't vote for him, wouldn't have voted for him, but Barack Obama is really the biggest disappointment ever in my adult life. Here is the opportunity to have the first black president of the United States and basically take what I thought were good relationships then between mm-hmm. our African and white community, and he actually made it the worst in my life.
That's a fair point. That's how he was elected, and yet he moved past it.
I just pulled up.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. No, sorry, yeah. I didn't mean to cut you off. I do have real estate listings currently in Levittown.
Yeah,
if you
go ahead.
Them.
Yeah.
Currently looking at the cheapest I could find within the city limits of Levittown. Well, $100,000, you can buy some land and build
right.
on it, but you're not going to build for under $300, $400 with the cost of materials at this point. So there's one right near Indian Creek in Levittown for $310,000. That's one that is... It definitely needs a power wash on the outside. The roof looks like it needs to be replaced. The entire inside has not been updated since it was built, it looks like. If you're looking at the refurbed ones, cheapest one I can find. What's this one? Nope, that's... Looks like recently referred, but about 10, 15 years ago, you're looking at $435,000.
Oh,
and a newly refinished one, you're at least into $480,500.
And Dan, no offense, but if you tell me, $450,000 and I'm living in Levittown, and I'm not offending Levittown, I'm just saying, though, it's seen as middle class or, you know, slightly right around there, and I'm paying $450,000, you think you'd be, I'll pick a place at Radnor or Tavistock or something, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, no, you've just gone through it.
I didn't implore, because we spent so much time looking for homes, I didn't implore anybody, whether it's Jersey, Philadelphia, Delaware, Pennsylvania. There are no homes that are standalone homes that have been refinished within the past 20 years. So standalone with a yard, refinished 20 years, under $400,000.
And is that due to, that's the world of today. Or is it due to Biden policies, et cetera, have a large part? What he said about BlackRock is true. That's one of the things they're engaged in. And when are people going to stand up to that? All right, coming up, we're going to talk with Assemblywoman Dawn Fantasia. And this is a real good experiment because I wanted to get her on. I thought she was adamantly against getting rid of this basic skills test. Then I read a long, detailed, she's very detailed, Twitter post. And she's not. She thinks it was a scam, just charging you more money. The one that we talked about so much. But I'm still happy to have her. She's got a lot of other stuff, too, that we'll talk about. 855-839-1210.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.